The word would have spread in that town. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. This is his hometown. He's coming back. We're going to have a party. We're going to have supper.
Welcome back, everybody. Today is Monday of Holy Week, and we are in Meditation 134 from Divine Intimacy.
Now, Father Gabriel talks about a supper at Bethany in the honor of Jesus. So I want to set the scene before we get into Father Gabriel's quotes. Jesus has healed Lazarus. And now he goes back to Bethany, where Lazarus is from. They have a supper in his honor. Can you imagine the privilege of being there and the commotion surrounding this? Mm-hmm. Like how the word would have spread in that town. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. This is his hometown. He's coming back. We're going to have a party. We're going to have supper. And they're in this room, and Jesus is there, and Lazarus is at the table, and he's reclined there with Jesus. And then Mary is there, and Mary and Martha, you know the story, and Mary's at Jesus's feet and takes this oil, this perfume, which is very expensive and a lot of it, and she dumps it all on Jesus's feet, and the smell just permeates the whole room. It's obvious what Mary has done. There's no secret here. And this perfume is expensive, likely imported from India. So it's expensive. And then what happens? Jesus doesn't say, oh, no, don't do this, Mary. This is not necessary. He receives this loving devotion. And then Judas at the table, looking at what has happened, and murmurs and says, oh, what a waste. This oil could have been taken, expensive oil, and sold, and we could have used that money for the poor. Judas really wasn't too concerned about the poor at this point. Scripture says that he was in the habit of taking something from the common purse for himself. So he had, his concern was not for Jesus, not concerned with the needs of the poor. His concern was for himself. And in this context, I find what Judas says even more repugnant in one way, because he's at the table with Lazarus, who's been raised from the dead. If I was there at the table, I would turn to Lazarus and says, Lazarus, what do you think? Is Jesus going to provide for our needs here? I mean, after all, he seemed to meet your needs. And I, in my mind, hear Lazarus responding to me, Ken, I don't know exactly what all the needs of this group are, but as for me, this I know. I was dead, and now I'm alive. And Jesus turns and says, leave Mary alone. Leave her alone. And Mary doesn't even hear or say anything about what other people are murmuring and wasting the oil. Her whole heart, her whole mind, her whole attention is on Jesus. See, friends, when we are completely devoted to Jesus, the criticisms do not touch us.
This total consecration to the Lord is deemed wasteful by those who fail to understand it. Although the same offering, if otherwise employed, would cause no complaint. If everything we are and have is his gift, can it be a waste to sacrifice it in his honor? You know, I think just of, you know, the way that different people choose to live their lives and the way that they choose to spend their time, and how sometimes maybe in the eyes of some people, a lot of what we do maybe seems like, why do they care so much? Why do they spend their time, you know, hosting people in their house or, you know, going to retreats? And some people might see that as frivolous. But what Father Gabriel is talking about is how if everything that we are and have is his, how could it be wasteful to give any of it back to him? You know, even spending 1 hour a week attending the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, you know, Jesus has given us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and he's asking for 1 hour in return. And even for some of us, that is a difficult thing to give. And I just think, you know, when I'm on my deathbed, what will I be regretting? I don't think I will regret any time or effort that I spent towards building the community of God. You know, because I think sometimes we feel like we need to devote time to this, that, and the other thing. But yet, what is the thing that God is calling us to do? that will never be wasted. Giving alms to the poor is a duty, but the worship and love of God is a higher obligation. If urgent works of charity sometimes require us to leave His service for that of our neighbor, no change in the hierarchy of importance is thereby implied. God must always have the first place.
It would be a mistake to confuse the works of God as a substitute for the worship of God. And what I mean by this is sometimes we can get busy doing things. For example, us. We have things that are busy doing the works of God, like these videos. We have people in our house once a month saying the rosary. There's things that we are busy doing. But these things are not a substitute for prayer. They're not a substitute for going to Mass. And so sometimes we can fool ourselves thinking, oh, there I have done all these good works of God, for God. Maybe we volunteered in our church. We've done the pancake breakfast. We are giving money to this organization that's helping the needy. We're giving food to the food pantry that's bringing in to people that really are in need. Those are good. But these are not a substitute for worship, mm-hmm. for prayer. And in the hierarchy of importance, Saint Gabriel, Father Gabriel, is reminding us, first it's worship of God in the hierarchy of importance. And it's not either or, we do both, but we must do both. And not trick ourselves into thinking, because I'm doing all these works, then we forget to worship our God, to sit at His feet like Mary, to go to Mass, to spend time before the Blessed Sacrament. And I'll refer to what Jesus said to Martha. Mary has chosen the better part.
Father Gabriel, referring to Jesus' love for Judas. You, O meek lamb, did not refuse the kiss of that mouth so full of malice. You gave him everything, even as you gave to the other apostles, in order not to deprive him of anything that might melt the hardness of his evil heart.
Sometimes when we're thinking about Judas, we think, oh, Judas got the bad end of this deal. But the reality is that Jesus gave Judas, or God gave him all the grace necessary for his heart to be fully alive in God, to be Saint Judas of Iscariot. That was the grace that God gave him. And that is the grace that he seemed to reject. And I, in one way, take consolation in this, knowing that God will give me all the grace necessary to bring me to heaven. And he will not shortchange you either. He shortchanges nobody. He gives all the grace necessary. And if, by some reason, we condemn ourselves to hell, it is not because God was not generous with us. It is because we rejected his generosity.
So what I find interesting is that Jesus knew that Judas would betray him. So why did he choose him as one of the apostles?
Because he was still free. There's this mysterious thing of free will. Mm-hmm. And that he treated Judas also just like any one of the other apostles. He entrusted in him. He gave of his life to him. He withheld nothing from him. He gave him every opportunity to be that same Judas of Iscariot.
Mm-hmm. I know he was even present at the Last Supper. You know, you just think if you walked with Jesus and you saw all his miracles, how could you betray him? But I guess that just speaks to the fact that any of us are capable of doing anything. You know, it's like St. Therese of Lisieux, she said, Lord, keep your hand upon me, for the moment you remove your hand, I will surely betray you.
Hmm. I think that's a good reminder as we go through this Holy Week. Lord, mm-hmm. keep your hand upon us, otherwise we will surely betray you. Thanks for listening today, friends. Share with us below what stood out to you and why, and I'll see you tomorrow.